Your self-confidence is always going to be low until your intention aligns with your action. One of the surest ways that we can diminish our sense of worthiness and diminish our own self-confidence is when our intentions do not align with our actions. And it's important for us to take responsibility for that. You can't expect anybody to build up your self-confidence, to build up your self-esteem with their words, with their affirmations, with their actions. The first person with responsibility is you. Now, of course, you want to be around people who shower you with positive affect, believing in your ability, demonstrating compassion no matter what you've gone through or what you have done that could be seen as wrong. That is a part of creating a healthy ecosystem for that self-esteem. But do not make the mistake of thinking that anyone else except you is responsible for building and preserving that self-esteem. I'm Christelle Tomlinson, and welcome to Good Gas Mondays, where we create space to reflect on the tools that we need to live a life in thrive mode. I'm a self-management strategist and a public speaking coach, and I use this time with you to help you do some reflection in the same way that I am doing my own reflection on personal growth, to figure out who I am. How do I get to my best self? How do I enjoy with a sense of presence this life, this one life that I have to live? So in today's talk, in today's reflection, I'm inviting you to think about the quality, the level of your own self-esteem, and ask yourself this question: are my actions aligned with my intentions? Now, for some of us, that could look like, I say I want to lose weight. Am I doing the things that help me to lose weight? I say I want to build my business or expand this business that I have. Am I taking the actions that help me to achieve that particular goal? So bring a goal to mind, front and center, something you declared at the start of this year, this month, this week, that you want to accomplish. And then ask yourself the question, are my actions aligned with this intention? Now, when we set goals, sometimes you can feel low the minute you say it. You set the goal, it doesn't inspire you. You set the goal, nobody around you is inspired. Nobody is believing that you can achieve it, not even you. So that sinking feeling can start the minute you decide that you want to accomplish something and set the bar higher than it has been. Sometimes that feeling of failure, the minute you decide you want to try something new, is coming out of a spiritual memory. You remember that the last time you said you would do something for you, you did not do it. You recall the last time you set an intention to drop 50 pounds over the next 12 months, that you did not change your diet, and you did not show up consistently to the gym, and you did not get the rest and the water that you needed to accomplish the goal. So the next time you say that, you recall your own inconsistency and you don't trust you to get it done. And that's where that sinking feeling can come from. Even when you have a good goal, even when you have a smart goal, yes, it is specific, it is measurable, it's achievable, it's all the things. You still don't feel inspired to achieve it, even when you know that it's going to bring you to your highest self. Ultimately, what you're battling and grappling with is a low sense of self-confidence, sometimes coming out of your own failure to show up for you, to align the intention with action. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but any work you give me to do, I can get it done to excellence as a standard. But it doesn't always mean that I'm doing the right work. And if you know what that feels like, you can relate to getting up, having a long to-do list, feeling exhausted at the end of the day, having accomplished everything on that list, but knowing deeply that you didn't do the right work. Yes, you did the work. You did some work. You did a work, and you did it well. You have a right to be proud. Nobody could have done it the way you have done it, even though it was not the right work to accomplish your goals. And so that's why we have to keep ourselves in constant focus. Now, it doesn't mean getting self-absorbed. Building self-confidence is not about self-absorption. It's about paying attention to who you are, who you say you are, and who your actions say you are. Self-awareness is a critical part of building emotional intelligence, and we all need a little bit more of that so we can handle the conflict, internal conflict and external. We can handle the disappointments in life. We can handle the successes and the high points and the peaks. We can handle people with whom we disagree or don't share perspective and values. It's emotional intelligence that allows us to show up in the world with compassion for ourselves and others, and a true understanding of what really matters to build relationships. So if you recognize that you are the biggest enemy to your own self-esteem, the first step is self-awareness. Who am I really? I know in my mind, I think myself to be somebody, but when I look at my actions, what do those actions tell me about me? Because I'm also seeing my actions and I'm seeing the results from those actions. And that too is going to inform who I think I am, what I think I deserve, and what I believe myself to be capable of. And that's why the alignment between intention and or action is so important. Carl Rogers, a psychologist in the 1950s, coined the term congruence. And in modern day parlance and language, we think congruence means things moving together. Yes, things that work well together and are in the same rhythm and direction. But it's not just about the things moving in the right direction. Fundamentally, it means that there is a connection and an overlap. When we talk about the psychology of congruence, an overlap between your ideal self and your real self. So the real self is the self that you know you are. If somebody were to ask you to describe what you do, how you do it, that's the self that you would describe. I am, I do, I was, I used to. That's the real self, where you have tangible evidence that, yeah man, this is so, this is me. Our past helps us to define that real self. Now your ideal self is the person that you know you could become. Your ideal self is linked to the goals and the ambitions that you have for your life. So if you have a vision board, someone looking at your vision board should have an understanding of your ideal self. The vision, the future, the next level, the raised bar, the self we know we can become. Now, congruence is when the real self, who I really am and what I'm really doing, overlaps with the ideal self, who I think I could become. And that happens with our actions. Now, human beings are higher order animals on this earth, which means that we have the benefit of a prefrontal cortex that allows us to plan, envision, and strategize. And we know that we can take action now that creates a future tomorrow. And so when we think about the overlap between real self and ideal self, most times what that means is not so much the outcome, becoming the self and having the thing that we think we can have, reaching the point, reaching the finish line. The overlap many times in the long term and the medium term is really about the action you're taking to create that. So because I know that I can have an impact on what happens next, I know that my actions today, tomorrow, for the next month can change a particular metric 3 years from now. My overlap between real self and ideal self is the habit I'm taking to get there. So sometimes persons may think that the outcome is the overlap with the ideal self. So I want to get a first class honors degree when I go to university, and self is now at maybe a lower second. So ideal self overlapping would mean that I actually get it. No, that can be a part of the ideal self experience, but the most fundamental area and component of that overlap is the habits that are supposed to get you to your first class honors. So let's say you're at your lower second now, your overlap means pulling an all-nighter. Your overlap means participating in a study group. Your overlap means getting your assignments done in time to be able to review, refine, and submit within the deadline. The overlap means getting other persons to review your work and give you feedback. The overlap is reading beyond the recommended reading, or for some of us, simply reading the recommended reading that's on the syllabus, right? I was there, didn't do that, okay? So the overlap is the habit, the behavior, the tactic, the strategy that's supposed to get you there. And that is what strengthens our self-esteem. That is how somebody could train to break a world record at the Olympics, run the race and not break it, but still feel excited and proud. They could train to get a gold medal or a position on the podium and finish in last place, but still feel confident about themselves because the overlap between real self and ideal self was happening in training. It was happening in the preparation. It was happening through the habits. And so even at that split second, that 10, 20 seconds, 60 seconds that you have to run that race, even if in that 1 minute or less, you don't get the final output, you can still feel proud. Your self-confidence and self-esteem have still been raised because the overlap happened with the habits. So my question to you, going back to the initial reflection, what is the goal that you would have defined for yourself at the end of last year, at the beginning of this year, quarter or month, that you've not yet achieved? And because we value honesty here, tell the truth. Are you the person standing in the way of achieving and accomplishing this thing? If you are the reason, you've not done your best, you've not given it what it requires to manifest into the result that you say you want, what is the habit that you need to commit to in order to achieve that particular goal? Make a note of that. Put it in the calendar which days and times you're going to honor that habit. Self-awareness still requires self-discipline to get the results that we want for our self-esteem. The doing is important. So awareness is one, and then doing the right thing to create the overlap is essential to building the self-esteem and getting us to experiencing our ideal self and the sense of inner congruence. Now remember, the brain hates incongruence. It wants to know that the intention we have set is overlapping positively with that ideal self, that goal we want, that action is being taken now. So understanding what we discussed earlier around saying you want something, describing a goal, creating a vision board, talking about something you're trying to accomplish, but still not feeling inspired and motivated, that could be an indication that you're experiencing internal incongruence. And one of the surefire ways to reverse that sensation and to repair that breach of trust between you and self is to start taking aligned action. So I build awareness using my Thrive Life Planner. It is inside the Thrive Life Planner that I'm able to set the intention around the ideal self. It's in this planner. But it's not just the vision for myself, it's also the habits. So the self-awareness comes from completing the whole life audit at the front of the planner, completing my Thrive checklist, setting my intentions around the life principles and disciplines now that will get me to the goals that I want. So I do the assessment of where I am, but then I also assess what is required to get where I need to be and lay those out as habits. And then I keep myself accountable. The only way you can keep yourself accountable, intention, aligned action, accountability to make sure we get there. The only way you can keep yourself accountable is if you're constantly returning to that intention and checking if your actions are aligned. Now that is work that requires honesty. A lot of us will tell ourselves we don't have the time, but many times the time we don't have is to face ourselves and admit that we're not doing what we said we're supposed to do. That's what you don't have time for, you know, because you can find time to watch Netflix, and you can find time to go and chill with that friend and have a drink, and you can find time to mindlessly scroll on social media. So it's not the time you don't have. You just don't want to commit the time to being honest with yourself and keeping yourself accountable. We may be eager in our personal lives to keep other people accountable. Keep our friends accountable, our family members accountable, our spouse accountable, our children accountable, our boss accountable. That may be easier for some of us than keeping ourselves accountable. This planner helps me to keep myself accountable. So I have to face myself. And I do it in several ways inside the planner. I set the intention at the top of the quarter. And at the end of each quarter, I have to go back to check. I do my quarterly Thrive check to see if what I wanted to accomplish in these 3 months I actually did. But outside of that, I also have a monthly plan. And that monthly plan, I have to review it at the end of each month. So there's a timer on my phone that reminds me that I'm at the end of the month or at the end of the quarter, and now it is time to do a review. But you know where the rub really is? It's in the daily and the weekly checking in. So I have to sit down every day and match the actions that I'm supposed to take each day inside that planner. Me have to talk the truth. I have to tell the truth about what I've actually done. And if I have not done what I planned to do, I have to look at that. I have to deal with that. I have to approach it with like a grown-up and decide, well, what am I going to do next? That's a daily. And the weekly Thrive check requires me again to review the plan I had for the week. And that's a one-pager inside the planner. See what are the wins that I can celebrate, and I can literally list those in the week. And what are the next steps related to the failures to take action and to apply the pressure of discipline. So by doing that weekly, I check in, daily, I check in, monthly, I check in, quarterly, I check in, it means that it's unlikely for any habit to overcome me and move me so far away from my intention that the real self and the ideal self can't overlap and I end up feeling incongruent. So this right here is my medicine that I take every day to ensure that I do not exist in incongruence, that I'm not out of alignment with myself and therefore uncomfortable with even my own goals and my own declarations around what I want to achieve. My ideal self and my real self get to overlap because I'm checking in and doing the work, taking the medication rather, each day, each week, each quarter, each month? What are you doing to stay in alignment with yourself? Not so much with the goals, but with yourself. So you feel like who you are now and who you know you have the capacity to become are one and walking in step. What are you doing? I'll put a link in the description bar so you can purchase a copy of the planner and join our accountability community. But it's so important and essential that you have a tool. You have to have a system. You have to have a rhythm and a process. Otherwise, you feel scattered. You feel a sense of disappointment in yourself. You feel shame. You feel anger. You're not sure that these goals that you see other people chasing, you could actually chase them and catch them.
As soon as you can answer that question, you just let me know in the comments. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you for another edition, episode, vibe of Good Gas Mondays. Lots of love and blessings to you.